In the name of Christ the King. Amen. Well, we put away our Thanksgiving decor, and out comes the Christmas stuff, right? How many of you have said or had somebody tell you already, Merry Christmas? I had three people this weekend tell me, Merry Christmas! In the church year, we're not even to Advent yet. This is one of those funny kind of years where we haven't even had our celebration of Christ the King. We haven't even finished our church year yet, and yet the rest of the world has already zipped ahead and pulled out the Christmas gear. So we're in a countercultural space today. Let's just kind of revel in that. Let's start with where we are today in the church. Christ the King Sunday. Now, what do you think of when you think of a king? Kings. Lots of thoughts, right? Well, the first image that came to my mind was of King George III in the hit Broadway musical Hamilton. He's the main antagonist of the first act, and he's irrational and irritated. He's insane and inane. And he's at the core of our nation's rebellion against the monarchy in favor of democracy and freedom. That's what I think of when I think of a king. I've always found this day in the church to be a bit odd, especially in the United States, where we have an historically tenuous relationship with the monarchy. Christ the King Sunday hasn't even existed for 100 years. In the church year. Unlike Lent and Holy Week and Advent, which have been celebrated for over 1,000 years, the church added Christ the King Sunday just after the fallout of World War I amidst the Kaisers and the Kings and the Tsars. The church felt it was time to reassert that Tsar Ferdinand or Kaiser Wilhelm wasn't king, Christ is king. So the day was added to the church year. But I still think it's a weird day in the church. Because what does the kingship of Christ mean to us? It may have meant something 90 years ago, but today when we declare someone as king, in our context, we think of the king of pop, the king of rock and roll, or the burger king. Conglomerates have taken over the crown in our free market capitalist culture. So today at best, when we conceive of the kingdom from our cultural location, it's like celebrating Christ the CEO Sunday. It becomes all the more complicated as we hear Pilate and Jesus exchange thoughts on kingship in today's gospel. Pilate's pushing to hear who will rule and how he'll rule. He wants to outline the boundaries and the benefits. Who exactly does this Jesus think he will rule over anyway? And this is where Jesus flips the script. Jesus shows us that all of our conceptions about kings and rule and power and dominion ultimately have missed the mark. We hear words like the ones we heard from the New Testament, Old Testament, Daniel, this morning, and have conceptions like these in our minds. To him was given dominion and glory and kingship, that all peoples and nations and languages should serve him. But in Jesus, we have a king who came not to be served, but to serve. His dominion is an everlasting dominion that shall not pass away. His kingship is one that shall never be destroyed. Yet our King Jesus will be handed over in the Gospel of John to die on a cross, destroyed in earthly terms, but to show us the truth of God's reign, what true kingship really means. The only kingship that cannot be destroyed, Jesus shows us, wears not a crown of gold, but a crown of thorns. Jesus' kingdom is not of this world, because for Jesus, kingdom is not about place or power. It's about a state of being. And thus it is the calling of we who declare Jesus to be King of Kings and Lord of Lords to strive for something radically different than any of our earthly conceptions of what it means to be a king. We pray in the Lord's Prayer every week, "Thy kingdom come." And as seminary professor Caroline Lewis notes, in John, Jesus wants us to see that kingdom is only about place if the place indicates the profound and intimate place of relationship with God. Jesus' kingdom is not about amassing additional amounts of control. Jesus' kingdom is not about his ultimate rule over and above others. Jesus' kingdom is about relationship. My kingdom is not from this world because it is from God. Frederick Buechner, writing in Listening to Your Life, says of the kingdom of God that it is not a place, of course, but a condition, insofar as here and there, now and then, God's kingly will is done in various odd ways among us, even at this moment. The kingdom has come already. Insofar as all the odd ways we do his will at the moment, at best half-baked and half-hearted, the kingdom is still a far way off. We have looked for the kingdom in the headlines, but we must find him in our hearts. What if I told you that Jesus made us to be kings and queens? Since we have been made to be kings and queens of God's kingdom, it is our calling to work for that kingdom and not for the kingdoms of this world. That sounds like a lot of responsibility, huh? To be a king or a queen of the kingdom of God. I'm telling the children at 9:30 this morning, you know you're glimpsing something of the kingdom of God, not when you see power or control or shiny things, but rather when you see love, joy, peace, patience, goodness, kindness, gentleness, faithfulness, and self-control, the fruits of the Spirit. I sent that list to someone who was helping me to prepare for this morning, and he said, "Is this a foreboding list?" Love, joy, peace, patience, goodness, kindness, gentleness, faithfulness, and self-control. I guess maybe for adults in the lives that we lead, a list like that can be foreboding. But hopefully, it frees us all ultimately. The kingship of Christ looks so refreshingly different than our conceptions of kingdom. But it's also that makes living into this kingdom reality so challenging. We are active rulers in the kingdom. Right here and now, we are the active rulers, and our lives reflect its coming. God's kingdom is a kingdom so down to earth, so flattened out that every living soul, every one of us, is called to wear the crown. And living into kingdom reality is about understanding that being a king or queen means not reveling in the crowns we bestow so much as owning the responsibility our crowns bear. It means acknowledging that the person sitting right next to you is as entitled to wear the crown as you. As modern mystic Carol Houselander puts it, if we are not interested in the minds, the feelings, the hopes, fears, sorrows, and joys of everyone with whom we come in contact, we are not interested in Christ. Whatever we do to anyone, we do to him. If we are impatient with the mental suffering, the doubting, the questioning, and the wrestling with the angel of the more sensitive minds, then we are impatient with the mind of Christ bleeding under the crown of thorns. If we shrink from the broken lives of sinners, then we draw away from Christ fallen and crushed under the cross. If we will not go to the sick and the poor and help them, we will not help Christ. How shall we educate ourselves to face people's sufferings? First, we can start with the physical. None of us is so poor that we cannot find another in greater need than ourselves. It takes far greater skill to attend to a broken heart than it does to a broken limb. Where do we even begin, really? Hauslander suggests starting with the physical needs of others. I think we need to take one step further. I think before we can tend to any need, we need to pray for an infusion of the Spirit of the Kingdom of God. Because in places where we encounter the suffering of others, most often our response is disinterest, if not impatience, frustration, and disdain. But when the Spirit of the Kingdom, which is a gift from God, we can't materialize it, infuses our beings, we cannot help but express love, joy, peace, patience, goodness, kindness, gentleness, faithfulness, and self-control. Christ the King Sunday may not mean much to us on the surface. But when we get past the surface, we get to the hope of God's rule, a God that reigns in our hearts. 17th century priest Jean-Pierre de Cassade writes, "For those who abandon themselves to it, God's love contains every good thing. And if you long for it with all your heart and with all your soul, it will be yours. All God asks for is love. And if you search for this kingdom where God alone rules, you can be quite sure you will find it. For if your heart is completely devoted to God, your heart itself is this treasure, this very kingdom which you desire so ardently." Hear that good news. The kingdom of God has drawn near, and it's as near as your heart. Amen.